So Papa Jack last weekend set a precedent for us to 12:10, so I got in 55 minutes. No. You're like, I'm leaving now. Thank you very much. No. We were so blessed and honored with the way Papa Jack ministered to us last weekend. If you weren't able to attend any of the sessions, we encourage you to go online. They're online. You can catch up with them. And really believe that Papa this released a, this not just a father's anointing, but an apostolic anointing. And Monday night had an opportunity to go hang out with him. I know Jim was there and a few others over the DoubleTree Hotel in San Antonio, and they had a reunion basically of those that were there in 1970 through 74, whenever a major revival broke out. They saw 3,000 people saved in 6 months, and it was just powerful. And I just tell you, for me, I just got so excited because I'm watching people who were coming back that 40 something years later are so deeply impacted still. That with tears they told the story about what God did then, and they're saying now it's going to happen again. And this Papa Jack, he was tearing up, and he goes, and he looked at him, and it was like watching, going back in time. I can imagine him standing in the pulpit in 1970 at Castle Hills and preaching the gospel, and he told him, it's not over yet. You get up and you expand the kingdom. And it was just such an anointing and an apostolic release. And so we're believing from San Antonio to Austin. That's just personally the region that I feel my heart is burned for, that the revival's here, awakening's here. And last weekend, you guys, at the end of the service, I turned around and the place was packed and people were standing up. And when Papa gave the call saying, are you all in? And everybody says, yes, I'm all in. And what I felt like the Lord said is this week, and we'll just spend the next few minutes doing this, I want to share with you some vision, what I feel like the Lord is telling us to go through, what's going to require. Here's what it's going to take. If we say, revival's here, awakening's here, what does that entail? What do we need to do very specifically? Because revival doesn't just happen. It's caught by a people who steward it well. And I was going to use an illustration, but I don't necessarily have the time to do it right now, of a guitar. And there's always this tension that's held whenever we say, well, we want the freedom and the movement of the Holy Spirit. And I say yes and amen. And we want to come in and say, God, have your way. Time doesn't matter. And there's a part of us that says yes, but we're also called to steward finite resources, which is time, talent, and treasure. And namely, children's volunteers right now. And so we don't have 4 or 5 hours today just to continue that. But we're supposed to steward resources well of what he's doing specifically. And so there's that tension of move Holy Spirit, but at the same time, how do we organize? And what I've realized as a church, many of you weren't here when we started, and I'm so excited you're here now because I believe that you're the fruit we prayed you in, that as we moved from not knowing who Holy Spirit was outside of, I was a Catholic, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, That was my extent of a Holy Spirit experience, to the full move and expression of the Holy Ghost. That on the earth, there's the Father and the Son in heaven, but on the earth, the fullest expression of the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit in the earth. And that the kingdom of God is not expanded unless it's done through the Holy Spirit, because it's God who's the King, and so the King has dominion over our planet, and he has a family that we're a part of. And so, excuse me, I'm going to speak a little fast because I feel like I need to give you a release. I feel like I'm supposed to seed the atmosphere and then put out a call that says, are you willing to follow through on your yes? Because there's a tension that sometimes happens that says, don't control Holy Spirit. And we're not here to control Holy Spirit. One of the brothers in Christ said, you're not here to control him, but you are here to steward what he's doing. And so if you think about playing guitar, Cindy and I was just watching, you know, Stephen Curtis Chapman. When I grow up, I want to be able to play guitar like that. I'm just like, man, it is so clean. But if you listen to it, there's 6 strings on a guitar. And not all 6 strings look the same, do they? And I don't know if you've ever looked at a guitar. And that doesn't mean if it's a violin, a bass guitar. None of those strings look the same. There's different sizes, gauges, tensions. And it's because they're designed for a specific frequency. And you can know when it hits an E note, a low E. And you can know when you hit the high E. You can tell the difference. And when everything's in tune, it's a peaceful sound. If anything's out of tune, if anything's missing, you pick up on it right away and go, it kind of sounds like that note, but something's quite not right. And we need to tune it. The way you tune a guitar string is through tension. Sometimes we're so afraid of tension that we just back off completely and nothing gets done. We need to live in this place that there's tension between freedom of Holy Spirit, and stewarding well what he's given us, which includes administration and organization. If the purpose of organization and administration begin is to serve itself, then we've gone into religion and we're controlling God. And God can't move in a place like that, not very effectively. At the same time, if you take this string and you loosen it so loosely, you're going to get the string that's kind of hanging down. You're not going to get any note out of it. There has to exist this tension that brings you a perfect note. So whenever you strum the guitar and you start going through it, it's the strings held in perfect tension together, working together, that gives you a harmonic tone. And it's the same way in the body of Christ. It's the same way with the expansion of the kingdom of God. Is not all of you look the same. Once you look around each other, you're all beautiful. Y'all are amazing. I get the best view every single Sunday when I get to look at you guys. But you don't look the same. Thank God. We don't need just an E string. We need the whole breadth of the musical scale, because it's those things that make music. As they were singing earlier, and Paige, you did an awesome job on that song. Was my favorite song. I love The More I Seek You. But then these harmonies come in. And it's like you got this beautiful voice, and all of a sudden, boom, here comes the harmonies. And it takes what is good, and it makes it great. It makes it excellent. It takes it to another plane. It just breaks open. It's the same way in the body of Christ, that as a church, we're going to have to say yes to revival, but it includes some things. And let's say this, if you're a first-time visitor, I'm so glad you're here. I'm glad you're here this weekend. I used to be afraid to do this type of message on a Sunday morning because I didn't want you coming in and feeling like, oh gosh, I got to jump into work right away. No, you don't. Rest. Let us get to know you. It's okay. If you're called to a season of rest, rest. That is equally following and expanding the kingdom of God, because you need to operate from a whole heart. So hear what I'm about to say in a second with this in mind. If you're here to rest, rest. But if you've been resting and you haven't been strung in a while, it's time to get in the game. It's time to add your gift, your talent, your resources into what God is doing here. And why? Not so we can build Legacy Church. Jesus told Peter very specifically, he says, who do they say the people will say that I am? Well, some say this, some say this. You're just a prophet, you're just a dude. And he goes, Peter, but who do you say I am? And he says, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus looks at him and says, God, heaven revealed this to you upon the rock of this knowledge that I am king, I'm building my church. Amen. He calls him Peter for the first time. Peter in the Greek is Petros, which means little stone. Sometimes we think it means big foundation stone. No, it doesn't. It means we need a lot of Peters coming together to form a large foundation with Christ as the cornerstone to be able to build the kingdom. So this is not about Legacy Church. And I've been in churches where it felt, and when we started the church, I didn't have this paradigm. I did not have a kingdom of God paradigm. All I knew is I loved Jesus with all that I had, and I loved people with all that I had, and I wanted to see them touched by God. That's all I knew 9 years ago. And I've been so blessed to see people touched. But it's not enough. Because our community doesn't know Jesus fully. Our world, there's 7 billion people on the planet. There's 5 billion people that if they died right now, they'd go to hell. And that bothers me. Amen. Right now, the Earth's population, half, 50% of the Earth's population is 16 years and younger. Let that sink in. Within 4 years, it'll be 12 years and younger. You know what God's doing? He's setting up the world for a worldwide revival. Do you know what the average age that people were converted or come to Christ outside of the United States is? 12. 12. See, Peter says, you're the Christ. Upon this rock, what did Jesus say? I'll build my church. Who does the building? Jesus. We're called to steward. And then he follows it up and he says, and I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. I remember when I got my driver's license at 16 and I received the keys to the kingdom. I don't know what year it was, but it was a minivan. But dadgummit, it was freedom. I thought I was driving a Ferrari. That's what it felt like, right? What Jesus says, you've been handed the keys to the kingdom. So what we're talking about is not building a church that serves itself. And I'm not gonna blast other churches. Good Lord, it's difficult enough to manage your own household, worrying about everybody else's household. Yeah. Amen. So what I'm gonna say is that for us, for me and my house, as Joshua would say, we're gonna serve the Lord and we're going to expand his kingdom and allow Jesus to build the church. Who's the church? You. The people are the church. A bunch of Peters, Petros, coming together to form a foundation upon which the whole glory of God rests upon into the earth. And so what required of that is a little bit of sacrifice. It requires us to think differently afterwards every single week. We have an amazing, amazing children's team that ministers to. We have an amazing guest experiences team that greets you and parks you and has set up coffee and just does a million things behind the scenes that you never think about. It takes a group of people who said yes to the kingdom of God and said on Sunday, we know primarily this is our day of worship. And let me tell you what Legacy Church is going to be about. We are called to be a hub, a revival hub, which means the people come in and we want people to experience salvation as Jesus taught salvation, which means not just getting to heaven, but that you're healed and you're set free. That the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ includes physical healing. It includes the release of a hurt heart. It releases the demons that plague people. That's the fullness of the gospel. And so we want people to have a place where they can come and they can heal up. They can know Jesus. But then it doesn't stop there. When you continue to grow, and one thing that we've done for a while as a church is we've done some things well. I think we do worship well. I think we love people well when they come in. I think we've got some good teaching that's taken place. But it's time to go to the next level. And so as an advisory team, we sat down and said, Lord, what do we need to do next to steward what's happening? And I remember the wait when I was in Thailand and Singapore in January. I spent so much time with him where I just felt, and not weight like bad weight, but I felt this burden where he's saying, are you serious about this? Are you serious that you want the city of New Braunfels and the surrounding areas? And I said, yes. He says, then you're going to have to get serious about being a father. A father doesn't control. A father empowers. But a father sets a tone and says, this is where we're going. Who wants to go? And says, we've got to come together now. For this time and for this purpose, to see people saved and healed and set free, people to be discipled, to grow up knowing who they are. There's so much of the problem in the church is they think they're orphans. And there's pastors. And I was it for about 7 years. I was an orphan trying to run an orphanage because I didn't know who I was. I do now. God sent Papa Jack in my life to say, son, I'm your papa. Time to get real. Time to be serious. Time to take joy in what God is doing in your life. And here's what, so it's not about numbers for the sake of numbers, but let me tell you what, we're the second fastest growing city in the nation, 6.6%, New Braunfels is. We're the first? Numero uno. Eins in the German, one. 6.6%. Growing like gangbusters. 70,000 people at the last census. They're going to add 20,000 people this year. How many people know Jesus? I don't know, but we better find out. San Antonio, 1.47 million people. They're 20 minutes away. That's part of our area. San Marcos has been the fastest growing city for a number of years. There are 70,000 people. Austin, head of government. San Antonio, international city, the feet of government. New Braunfels and San Marcos represent, if you looked at it, and I've had this vision for 6 years now, of a man, a silhouette of a man, and over the head was written Austin, over the feet was San Antonio, and smack dab where New Braunfels and San Marcos was the heart. And you know what he said? It's the Father's heart. Because until people come into my Father's heart, they're not going to be able to effectively govern, and they're not going to be able to effectively serve and share the gospel. So we represent a hub that brings in those who don't yet know him or those who are hurting and broken. They're unoxygenated blood, if you want to use the human body as an example. They get pumped into the heart where they receive oxygen, they receive life, and then they're sent back out to impact through the feet and hands of ministry, the head of governance, brilliance, creativity, going to Hollywood, going and making sure that we take back the entertainment industry through the name of Jesus. Netflix now shows Darren Wilson's films, which are, I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. And if you've never seen a Darren Wilson film, we're going to show it on July the 6th, a Wednesday night, talking about what's supernatural work going on in the world. But it comes from a people who say, I'm going to say yes to Father God. That's great. Now, what talents and gifts do I have? How in my local body am I called into relationship number one? One of the things that we're talking about building is we need to expand our life groups, getting in community. And here's the thing. It's the chicken or the egg. When you're 3,000 people, there's lots of eggs already hatched, and you can go jump into it. In the size of 145 people, which is about what we average, we need some eggs to hatch. And to say, yes, I will host a life group. Because it's life-giving. It's out of relationship. That's number one. So we're going to ask for your opportunities to do that. Number two, we said, how are we going to disciple people? A couple weeks ago, we had 8 people accept Jesus in the service. And it was like, yes, it's amazing. And then the question came, what do we do with them? We got a Bible, and we've loved on them. We've prayed on them. But how are they going to grow? And so we began to say, Lord, what does that look like? So starting this Wednesday night, one of the things we're doing on Wednesday nights is discipleship. It's training in the supernatural ministry. It's saying, what does the kingdom of God look like? What is natural for God's kingdom? And we're going to be looking for people to say yes. And I know one of our advisory team said, hey, I will walk alongside those new believers. I'll help them get into relationship, understand how to read the Bible. We're looking for people, that's your heart and that's your passion. We're going to disciple them. In our 5th and 6th grade ministry, which goes up right now, I love that age group because it's the tweener stage. It's the one that goes from elementary and right before high school. This is this coming of age. It's the age that Jesus was when his parents lost him. Remember the story? They go to Jerusalem for a big festival. It's one of those big feasts. They're traveling home in a big caravan, and all of a sudden, Mary looks at Joseph because usually the men and the women traveled in separate groups in this big caravan. And Mary goes, you got Jesus? No, I thought you had him. Where's he at? Friends, family, do y'all know where Jesus is at? Don't know where he's at. They go back to Jerusalem. You know where they find him? In the temple with the teachers, asking questions and giving answers. And they were amazed. And Mary does what every sane mother would do. What were you thinking? Where you been? About had a heart attack. And he looks at her, and he doesn't do it. You can read sarcasm, but I don't think Jesus did it disrespectfully. He goes, well, Mom, why were you worried about me? Don't you know that I have to be about my Father's business? See, at age 12 was an age in the Jewish culture where they began to become responsible for the law. And so at age 12, as 5th and 6th graders, my daughter, she's coming out of 6th grade, about to go into 7th grade. It's that age where they begin responsible for their own faith and their own walk. And we're saying, what are we going to do with that group? And we're going to do Fire Starters, which is an amazing curriculum that's specifically dying. Because we're telling these kids, not just like, hey, dude, right? Anybody can do that. But saying, you're amazing. Did you know that there's no junior Holy Spirit? Did you know that Jesus was 12 and he was already given answers that amazed the teachers? Why? Because he knew his Father. We want them to know the Father in such a way that they hear his voice and they only do or say what they see the Father doing. You want to know what? The teenage years will become a little bit easier, hopefully. Pray for me, we're entering into those years. But it's when you connect them with the heart of the Father. So we're being intentional in our discipleship with those teenagers, with those kids. Daniel's been doing an amazing job on Sunday or Wednesday nights teaching them about the different characters of the Bible, about how they were superheroes in their day. And realizing you guys today are no different than Elijah or Moses or Noah, other than you actually have something they didn't have, and that's Jesus in you. So they've gone across the street to skateboard park. They've prayed for the sick. They've prophesied over people. It's amazing. And those are our kids. Our 1st through 4th grade, you ask them, if anybody in here has got an illness, we'll go find one of those 1st through 4th graders and say, will you pray for somebody in here? And I just tell you, we've seen more healing come through the hands of those kids than we've seen even through adults. Why? Because they don't hesitate. They know that it's not them doing the work. They get to play with Papa God and release power into the earth, the goodness of God. But it takes people to steward that. It takes people to steward a worship team. It takes people to understand technology and help with the soundboard and understand sound. And it takes people to do that, who step into their God-given purpose, like on a guitar string. So when people come into Legacy, they hear a beautiful strum that says, this is a song of heaven for you. And remember, what's this all for? So when we send these kids home with you, They're walking in supernatural ministry, and they may prophesy over you. They may pray for you, because that's what we believe. When they go to their school and somebody goes, I've been having nightmares. I've heard this testimony. Well, hey, you know you don't have to have that. Well, why? Well, Jesus will give you peace. Can I pray for you? Well, sure. Little kid prayed for another kid, stopped having nightmares. And we so complicate it, y'all. As adults, I go into HEB and I'm going, all right, I've got my task and I don't want anybody to look at me. And, oh God, I'm hearing you're talking about this person and that's kind of awkward and it's kind of weird and I need to walk over there. And the kids go, please. Right? Faith like a child. The maturity of an adult, but faith like a child. Passion that says, I'm going to take my city. I'm going to take my nation back. I'm excited to see children raised up that we send out and we plant churches in this region. It's not about building legacy church. It's about expanding the legacy of Jesus, which was to go and get every single child, teenager, and adult to know him. And I'm going to say this. I love me, right? I think I've got a good self-image. So I'm not saying this because I'm like, oh, boo-hoo, me. And I'm not saying that our church hasn't done a good job, because we have. But if we are to see the promises of God fulfilled in the midst of us, we're going to go to a next level. We've got to go to a next level. It can't be enough just to wait for people to walk through that door. We got to go get them. Not to bring them just to church, to bring them into relationship, to go get them. You know why Jesus did discipleship? Sometimes I hear this question, well, I can't go serve in the children's ministry. I'm not qualified. I don't know what I'm doing. Where the fisherman and the tax collector that Jesus said, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Were they qualified to do supernatural ministry? No. Yet he said, hang out with me. I'll tell you who you are. I'm going to empower you and give you an anointing that allows you to go cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. And they go, okay. And they went out and they did it. And they came back. It's amazing. Even the demons listened to us and goes, yeah, that's okay. Remember where your name's written. Remember where your bread's buttered. Good old southern term. Your name's written in Lamb's Book of Life. Don't get legitimacy from the things that we go do. Our legitimacy comes from him. But that's why we have to have a revival hub that teaches people that. That loves on them and says, you're not an orphan. You know who you are? You're free in Christ. I know I don't feel like it. That's okay. We're going to walk you through it. We're going to love you into power. We're going to love you into life. So it requires both a base of operations that you bring people in. It's time, that's talent, that's treasure, that's resources. We've been negotiating with our landlord, and this is good for now. But I've got to look to the next step because we need classroom space to be able to do what we're going to talk about doing. And we want to keep this place because it's a beachhead into this neighborhood. We're not going to give it up. We may turn into a counseling center. We might do it another satellite church. We may say, hey, Fountain of Life, come use it on Sunday mornings instead of Sunday afternoons. I don't know, but I'm telling you, I'm going to cast a vision for where we're going. But that means that we're looking for you to step up and in to the plan. That means you've got a gift, a talent, an ability. You've got a passion that burns inside of you. And up to this point, we haven't been able to steward that well. I'll just tell you that. But the leadership team that God has brought together here says, we're going to get away from just being doers, but now into stewarding the hearts and the passions. How can we father? How can we mother? How can we raise up and equip the saints for the work of ministry? Because that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. I was going to hand out a card, but I'm just going to tell you this. On a weekly basis, it takes 10 teachers, 10 volunteers to help cover our children's rooms. And that's nursery, that's toddler room, that's pre-KK, that's first through fourth, and that's our fifth and sixth grade room. And our goal is to do on a quarterly basis where you would serve once out of 3 months. So you serve 1 month on in a room and you got 2 months off and you come back around. So 4 months a year, you would go and you'd minister to these kids. And you say, well, I'm not qualified. Well, neither were the disciples, and they did pretty good. Because it's not you doing the work. It's Jesus through you. All you got to do is say, yes, teach me. We'll equip you. We'll empower you. Right? So on a quarterly basis, it would take 24 volunteers in order to be able to do that. We're 14 short. And I look at that as going, yes, there's no glass ceiling here. Have you ever been to a church where there's nowhere to serve? You're like, oh, I've got this gift, but I don't feel like they need me. We need you. Why? Not because we're needy, but because we need an E string. We need a handful more guitars that would sing the symphony of heaven to those kids so they would know them. So what I'm asking you is this. Do you have a passion for kids? Or maybe you don't even have a passion for kids. You're going, I don't know. God, just use me. John Wimber used to say this, Lord, let me be a coin in your pocket. Spend it as you wish. That's a dangerous prayer. That's what got me to here. Because years ago I said, Lord, I'm not going to do it my way. I started in youth ministry. I did college ministry, ran a single parent ministry, did men's ministry. But I knew what God was calling me to. But he used all those steps along the way to get me to where I'm at. And he's used all these years to get me where I'm going. You're no different. I'm just a man who loves Jesus, who knows who his daddy is, and who's not going to sit by anymore. I'm going to do my father's business. And I'm looking for my family. Let's go do dad's business. Let's do it well. And let's take this city. So all of a sudden the news is going to turn on, so we don't have a clue what's going on in New Braunfels. But something's happening. Victoria, why don't you show that Todd White clip? Why don't you show you what I think it looks like? And then we're going to pray and release you guys.
Jesus.
Come on, bro.
That's so cool. Jesus. Wow, dude. Oh, that chicken skin's all over me, bro. Dude.
Thank you,
come
Jesus.
On. Jesus. More, God.
I don't beat to hog time, but I have hospital papers because this baby has a heart murmur from iron deficiency anemia.
Oh, geez, heal right now. Wow.
Father, I thank you for brand new vision in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Brand new vision.
Maddie's on tonight. We got one at 2.
Jesus' name.
And then there's one later.
Thank you for healing his eyes, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Brand new.
2 hours.
He loves you so much, bro. Jesus' name.
What do you think of that, dude?
I will.
You can see. Look into that camera. What did Jesus do for you?
Just healed my eyes. I was legally,
legally blind. Blind. What do you think of that?
Awesome. How many fingers?
Two.
Come on. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go across here. You can stand there right by the camera. I want you to see how many fingers I got on. Okay? Ready?
Thank
you,
Jesus. What
does
that
say? Thank you, Jesus. I thought
it was here. Pretty small.
I can't hear. What did you say?
It's
a little too small.
It's a little too small.
A little too small.
Yeah.
Jesus, I thank you right now. Every bit of vision be restored. In the name of Jesus, God. I thank you that you've taken him out of legally blind. You've enabled him to see. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for the work that you've done. I thank you for more. In Jesus' name, right now.
In
Jesus' name, right now. Open. A fire. That's exactly right, bro. That's it.
Yeah. Fire, dude.
That's what it says, bro. It says fire. So good. Come on, man. What's it feel like to not be legally blind anymore?
Awesome.
To see, bro.
Jesus, we thank you for this boy's eyes. I thank you for clean healing. I thank you that he goes to the doctors and they say, Mike. What has happened?
Mike.
And he says it was Jesus. Now I want you to do me a favor. Do you know this one? Who is that?
That's my boss.
Who's this?
My little brother.
It's your little brother. So guess what? So it says freely you've received. Now freely give. So I want you to put
seven
your
lions,
hand
Elijah. On this.
I want you to say this. In the name of Jesus. Just like I received.
Just like I received.
You be healed.
Just like I
Right now. Brand new heart.
Brand new heart.
In Jesus' name. Now I want you to put your hand on your mommy. Right on her head. I want you to say this. Freedom.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Right now. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
More.
More.
Holy. More. They're going to hold your baby. They're going to hold your baby. Keep praying right now. More. In Jesus' name. Freedom.
In Jesus' name. I just want you, Jesus. I just want you.
Freedom.
I just want you, Jesus. I just want you, Jesus. Just want you.
Redemption over this family in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you in Jesus' name.
Y'all alive? I'll just be honest, I'm not looking for the courtesy clap. What I'm looking for is, did that kid have any training? Freely receive, freely give. That's what it's about. It's about releasing you into that same lifestyle. It's not because it's about some special anointing. It's because of Jesus. You carry the presence of God inside of you. That means something that's powerful, that will touch and change generations. It will change the history of the world. I believe we'll be a city like in Acts 17 where they said, oh no, they've come here too. You know who was saying that more, I think, than the religious crowd? Was the demons. Oh, shoot, they're awake. They've come here to kick us out. That's what it means to walk in the kingdom of God. So every head bowed and every eye closed. What's Holy Spirit saying to you? What is he saying to you? What's he breathing into your heart? Have you settled for less than your inheritance? Have you settled for less than what Jesus died for and rose again for? There is no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus, but let this be your moment where you say yes. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would release vision, dream. The gifting's already there. I see it all over them. Your presence already all over them. I see the glory of them, of you on them. But shift their heart to where they're waking. Cry of the heart every morning is more of you, God. Whoa. It's our inheritance. We want to take claim of it. You said, Lord, to pray for the workers of the field. I believe we are the answer to your prayer. The field is ripe. The harvest is ripe. We say more, Lord. We say in your kingdom there is no lack. I pray for, I'm not a prosperity preacher, God, you know that. But I pray for such a level of prosperity and blessings that people go, huh? Just a more than enough? You're a more than enough God? Lord, I pray for supernatural healing. That, Lord, I know there's people in here who have been wounded by the church. And they've heard this message before from somebody whose heart was not whole and right with you. And it became controlling. I would just say, you're healed in Jesus' name. When man misrepresents the Father, go back to the Father. Jesus said, I know I only did what I saw the Father doing. Raise up preachers. Raise up teachers. Raise up worship leaders. Raise up musicians. Raise up artists and artisans. Raise up governors and president. Mayors. Lord, raise up a generation that so reflects you that the city would be, the whole atmosphere of the city would be heaven on earth. That the second people drive down 35 and they hit our city limits, that something would shift. That they'd be radically saved just by driving into the proximity of the city in New Braunfels. That people would be healed just by the proximity because of what you're doing. Yes. We thank you, Lord. I bless this people. I bless what an honor it is to be their pastor. Transform us into your mighty men and women that we can turn this world upside down for you, your kingdom come. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you, and Ryan, if you just stand at the door, and when people do leave, just hand it out. But I want you to really pray about how to get involved and volunteer within the children's ministry. Our teachers have done an amazing job. Amber Kay has done such an amazing job. You really walk into a curriculum that's ready to rock and roll. But we're looking to beef up the army, right, so we can really go and take them. But next week, I'm going to preach out of Joshua chapter 18, 1 through 4. And if you want to pre-read that before you come in next week, I think it'll be good to have an understanding, because I think God's going to release something as we come to next week. But you guys are amazing. If you need healing for anything whatsoever, what Todd just did, or God did through Todd, is normal. We've seen it happening. We saw it all happen all last week. Our altar ministers will be up here. We'd love to pray with you, whether it's through eyes, healing, doesn't matter. We believe that God wants to release a blessing over you. And I'll say this, next week we're going to be back on time. I'm serious. I'm not worried about it. I'm just going to tell you, 11:30 is what we shoot for every week because our kids and stuff like that, there's life to do, right? I just thank y'all that you are people that really move when it needs to move, you know, flexibility. So I bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Love you guys.